Humankind is produced in association with WGBH Boston and supported by the Humankind Program Fund. Additional funding for this series has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Institutes of Health, the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and the Park Foundation.
Many people report that in their best moments, they are just overflowing with gratefulness, and you give that full response of your heart, which is yes. And it is a yes of gratefulness, and it is a yes that makes you deeply alive.
Stories of how the simple practice of gratitude and counting your blessings can sustain us through tough times. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudberg. It's always impressive to meet people who manage, even amidst turmoil and adversity, to display a blazingly positive attitude. When confronted by daunting challenges, they focus on constructive ideas and often remain effective while others are buckling in the face of despair. Part of the secret of their outlook is learning to view life with a humble sense of gratitude, remaining thankful for the half of the glass you do have, which might just be enough to quench your thirst. In Chicago, Nancy Floy, a practitioner of Chinese medicine, recalls developing an attitude of gratefulness in childhood as a survival skill. A sense of gratitude enabled her to get through a very difficult home life. It was a philosophy she learned from her grandmother.
I grew up in a very abusive, chaotic, alcoholic home. And she was an anchor in the midst of all of this chaos. And she acknowledged the pain and suffering, but she would often say, you know, you've got to see the good. You've got to continue to see the light as well as the dark. Hold them both. It's a dialectic. I learned that word as a young child, what it means to hold a dialectic, to hold horror and hardship and good. And the good she taught through nature. So after a hard night of chaos and alcoholic behavior with my parents, she would take me out in the morning and say, Look at this day. Look at the trees. Look at the earth. Feel it. You know, touch the earth. Touch these trees. Breathe. You're breathing. You're alive. So it helped.
Did that go in pretty deeply?
Oh, into my bones, the cells of my body, as deeply as the trauma. So it's what I hang on to in the hard times and the dark times.
Have you ever witnessed in your work with patients a transformation someone might have experienced when they were able to focus their attention on gratitude, on what they had, on what was positive?
Oh, yeah, every day. Every day. I can think of two examples if you're interested. One, this patient, I worked with her through her pregnancy. And she had a beautiful pregnancy, a wonderful pregnancy, everything perfect. A young woman, just in her early 30s, and came time for the birth of her child. And after he was born, there was lots of activity, and we realized that he had Down syndrome, completely unexpected. And this is a woman today that has transformed her life and transformed and feels only gratitude for the birth of her son and for the changes that it's brought into her family, for she and her husband.
Was it initially disappointing?
Initially devastating. Devastating. Shocking. Life-changing. I have watched this couple change their lives. And the little boy's name is Samuel, and he's amazing and wonderful. He practices yoga, you know. He's only 2 years old. He practices yoga. And she has opened a center for yoga for the special child. But my point is, she feels now only gratitude. After being dropped into horror and pain, she feels only gratitude for this.
And what did you witness of her process of getting from being devastated to being able to see a silver lining?
I watched her drop into her pain. I watched her drop deeply into it, feel it, not shy away from it. I watched her rage. I watched her be angry. I watched her curse God. And I watched her be very sick in her body. And I have watched her move through and come through the other side. Watched her do is take on a practice. So anyone asking that question, how do I move from this trauma and horror to gratitude? You must be in practice. In practice. So her practice became yoga, in particular yoga for the special child. She became a certified teacher of it. She practices her yoga. That became her practice, her way of going inside and finding inner strength and connecting with something greater than herself, whether that's God, Buddha, Tao, nature, whatever it is for you, but finding something outside yourself to connect with and having a practice, a daily practice. That can be a walk. She found a community of other parents who had experienced similar things. So transformation takes work. Don't sit around and wait for it to happen. You have to be working hard. The other patient I thought of is a patient of mine who is coming towards the end of her life sooner than she would have liked. It's a reoccurrence of cervical cancer. Another amazing, brilliant, bright light. And I have watched her rage against this cancer and cry and sob and feel heartsick. And this is a woman who teaches me every week that I work with her about gratitude. Here she is now, weak and sick from chemo, hardly able to get herself here. And I come in and she's sitting under that skylight, just bathed in light. And now she has just very little bit of hair, and she's pale. But that inner light just shines out. And she will often start off and tell me just things that she's grateful for, things that have occurred over the week. You know, there was a nice nurse at the chemo, or they gave her a bed to lie in instead of a chair to sit in. She finds those things to be grateful for. And again, for her, it's her practice.
So she looks for those things.
She does. Yeah, she does.
At Mount Savior Monastery in Ithaca, New York, the Benedictine monks express their gratitude through sacred chanting. One of the monks leading a secluded life here is Brother David Stendel Rost, born in Austria and living for many years in the United States. A conscious focus on gratitude has become integral to his spiritual practice.
All the different aspects of my life that have to do with happiness and joy in life are in some way connected with gratefulness. When I'm grateful, I'm joyful. When I'm grateful, I'm more awake, more alive, more mindful than I am at other times.
Brother David has spent years deepening his sense of gratitude as a basic tool for leading an enlightened life. He says in certain periods of pain and sorrow, he frankly finds it difficult to radiate wholehearted gratefulness, but he maintains it as a theme that can open the door to a fuller, more satisfying existence.
I have found over the years in trying to help other people in their spiritual life that the one thing that almost everybody responds to is gratefulness. It is central to all the different religious traditions, all the great spiritual traditions, and it is also an attitude that rings true to many people who don't want to have anything to do with spirituality or religion particularly. And people will say, oh, gratefulness, to be truly grateful for life and grateful in life, that is my religion. You'll find that many times. So it helps people live more intensely, live more joyfully. It is really the key. Gratefulness is the key to a happy life, the key that we hold in our own two hands. Because if we are not grateful, no matter how much we have, we will not be happy, because we'll also always want to have something else or have some more of the same. But if we are grateful, even though we have very little, or grateful even for what other people might consider problems or difficulties, great challenges in our life, health challenges or professional challenges or whatever, handicaps, if we are grateful, we will not only overcome these challenges, but we will be that much more alive and that much more creative through our grateful attitude. In other words, gratefulness activates our lives.
Brother David Stendel-Rast points out that a posture of gratitude is hardly meant to gloss over genuine problems or to discourage us from social responsibility. Rather, it's a way to sharpen one's vision, to see situations more clearly, to respond not with egocentricity and emotional bias, but with accuracy.
It's a triumph of realism. I like to think of gratefulness as a particularly realistic attitude towards life and towards the world, because our appreciation of the world is always selective. If we paid attention to everything that happens, obviously it would be an overload and we couldn't do it. Since we know it is selective, we can catch ourselves in a mood in which we are selecting mostly the negative aspects, and can redress the balance and focus on positive things and tell ourselves, look, reality is not all black or all white. If you see it as all black, focus on the lightest aspects. In this sense, I think it's a move towards realism, towards facing reality as it is.
Given the fact that most of us are generally healthy and generally well-fed, and generally comfortable, why do you think it is that we so often paint ourselves into a corner of negative thinking?
That may have something to do with jealousy and greed, I'm afraid. And that is something that's it's a giving in towards peer pressure, because our society is very much geared towards always wanting more. If you can hardly avoid being exposed to advertising in one form or the other, and advertising will always tell you that there's something that you haven't got and that you should have in order to be really happy. If you're bombarded by this kind of a mentality, and also if you are in the company of people who have given in to that kind of mentality, then frugality will be very difficult for you. But it is when we are frugal that we are really joyful, because our gratitude is sort of an overflow. When the vessel is full, then it overflows in gratitude. Well, if you make the vessel a little smaller, it will overflow sooner, and the joy will come sooner.
If we reduce the enormity of our demands.
That's right. And the whole idea of entitlement, which is so widespread in our civilization and in the West in general, that makes the vessel bigger and bigger every time it gets full. We make it bigger, and this year's needs were last year's wants, and this year's wants will be next year's needs. We are told we really need it. It's just something that everybody has to have. And so before the vessel has a choice of a chance of overflowing, we have made it bigger, and there is still more affluence. That's how I see it. I think gratefulness would be the one key attitude towards stopping that overconsumption and that notion of entitlement, and thereby giving us much greater joy and much greater happiness than we are experiencing. And that's really what everybody wants. Everybody in the world wants happiness. You can count on that.
Nunc sancte nobis spiritus, tuum patricum filio.
While the monks of Mount Savior immerse themselves in ancient prayer, Brother David's campaign for gratitude reaches the outside world through books, articles, and a popular internet site, gratefulness.org. After the World Trade Center attacks of September 11, 2001, so many thousands of people visited the site seeking solace that the internet server crashed.
On our website, we have gratefulness for smells and gratefulness for sounds, and you kind of challenge one another if you can still come up with a smell that nobody else has mentioned as being grateful for. And if you do this just once a day, for instance, you remind yourself of something that you can be grateful for, it will increase, as I say, your aliveness, and it will make you more grateful. And the moment you become more grateful, it's of one piece. You will also need less in much bigger respects. I have for many, many years now, every day I've written down one little thing that I'm grateful for, and usually try to find something that I haven't been grateful for before. And as far as I can tell, I haven't even come close to exhausting the list, and I don't think I repeat myself very often. And I write down things that I've up to that point sort of taken for granted.
Could you reveal some of the recent entries in that diary?
I don't know how recent they are, but for instance, when I come back from a third world country, it's very easy to list a warm room, electric light, fresh water. You just turn on the faucet and out comes drinkable water. It's almost unthinkable. This sort of thing. I even, for a while, took little slips of colored paper, colored tape, and I put it on my light switch. And then when I switch on the light, I'm reminded, oh, what a blessing. I can have electric light at my fingertips. And on the water faucet, I would put a little slip and be grateful for water. It makes me happy. That's just the whole point. This is not some grim exercise and practice. Gratefulness is a real practice. It is a real integral practice. It has to do with every part of your life, body, mind, spirit. And it's in this sense that I'm promoting it, and so many people are discovering it, because the number of people who are discovering it in our time is constantly growing.
Do we have to really train ourselves to remember how much we have and to focus on how grateful we can be for that?
Well, I don't know. There may be some people who don't need to be trained in that respect. But I, for one, find that after many years, I still need to remind myself and to train myself. We get too quickly used to things, you see. This is one of the great problems, to get used to things.
Take them for granted.
Take them for granted. And the moment you take something for granted, it no longer gives you the joy that it gives you when you're grateful for it. You just take it for granted. Well, what's next? And if you reduce the number of things that you take for granted, the number of things that give you joy grow and grow and grow.
History, people have made gratitude a routine through the practice of saying grace before a meal. The challenge for so many is just calming down long enough to give thanks for the essential blessing of food.
Of course, the moment you start doing it, you find that it is so helpful, and then it will be easier because you want to do things that make you happier, and you will do it. So when you The first start is difficult, to slow yourself down, but it doesn't have to be a long grace. One word is sufficient. Certainly the Japanese are nowadays among the most rushed people, and they have outdone us after they learned from us, from our particular type of society, that rushing and that quickness. But from my experience, even among perfectly secular Japanese, the majority of people will say this one word, itadakimasu. Even if you eat with, just almost complete strangers, somebody, like we would say bon appétit, they would say itadakimasu. And that means I have received, or I receive. But in Japanese, there are so many different words for receiving, completely different words, whether you receive the gift from someone who is on your own social level, or a little below you, or very much below you, or a little above you, or very much above you. And this word, itadakimasu, means I receive from someone or something that is as high above me as anything can possibly be, from the ultimate. And as I say, millions and millions of Japanese will pause just long enough before a meal to say itadakimasu.
Just to acknowledge having received.
Just acknowledge having received. I haven't made it, I haven't brought it about. It is a gratis, it is a gift. And if you take things as a gift, well, that's gratefulness. You're no longer taking it for granted, and you're enjoying it.
Coming through.
At the Massachusetts Avenue Baptist Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts, even the least grateful among us are likely to appreciate the colorful spread and sumptuous aromas of the Thanksgiving buffet served up in silver trays with the help of volunteers. In support of the inner city congregation, a local hotel has donated a tasty selection of cranberries, mashed potatoes, peas, carrots, macaroni, and other holiday dishes. The fine flavors seem to put everyone in a festive mood.
This is a day when a lot of people have a chance to focus on gratitude, it being Thanksgiving, and I was just wondering what gratitude means to you.
Well, gratitude means places like here where people can come and in good faith, and in friendliness and warmthness. When outside, people don't practice being really nice to one another at times, and when you come in here, it's a room full of love. You know, a piece of serenity in the middle of a storm, you know. I'm grateful because my country has done well for me as a veteran, and it's paid for my education, and it's allowed me to almost complete a college education.
I have two children, both of whom are healthy and doing relatively well in life, and we're able to have a home and a community and do what we need to do to be intact, which feels like it's not that easy all the time for everybody.
What brought you down here today?
We belong to a synagogue, Temple Emmanuel, that has had a partnership with the Mass Baptist Church and has actually raised some funds to renovate this kitchen or to help renovate it. And my son and I came a couple of years ago on Thanksgiving to help serve food, and it was a really important experience for us. And now it feels like that's what Thanksgiving's about in part for us.
Gratitude for great things that have happened in my life. I'm healthy. I never spend a day in the hospital in my middle 60s. And so I got a beautiful wife I had for 41 years, and there she is right there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just grateful.
Is that something you work at?
Yes. Because when you are any other way than grateful, the only somebody's miserable is you. And complaining about everybody, there's nothing wrong with everybody. It's you the one that's something wrong with.
I try and think about gratitude every day, but obviously we all think about it more on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I have a lot to be grateful for, and I don't want to take any of the advantages of my life and my family for granted. So it's important to be aware of how lucky I am to have this wonderful family and the opportunities that I've had, and I'm grateful for them.
Does that help you get through the hard times?
Absolutely. It's just important to try and constantly be aware, even when things don't seem like they're going so well, of the real benefits that we're fortunate enough to have. And it really helps to get through the times that are rough when it doesn't seem like things are going so well, to know that you have a really solid background of love and help and caring.
Do you sort of count your blessings at those times?
I do. I try to. I try and teach my children to do that too.
Reflections on gratitude from people partaking of the Thanksgiving lunch at Massachusetts Avenue Baptist Church in Cambridge. Listening to Humankind, I'm David Freudberg. Our program is presented by Human Media in association with The Network Incorporated. Studio recording by Steve Colby. Editorial assistance from Francis McGovern. Special thanks to Andy and Julie Nebel, Barney Cole, and to the monks of Mount Savior Monastery. Program development and support provided by Chart Media.
You can hear more episodes of our series at humankindpodcast.org. That's humankindpodcast.org.
This segment, Count Your Blessings, is Humankind program number 49. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a review at Apple Podcasts or another podcast service. It goes a long way in helping people find the Humankind series. If you'd like additional content not available on our podcast, you can head over to our Patreon page, where we release monthly episodes. Our focus is solutions, not just problems. You'll also hear some staff picks from our archive, including conversations with people like a young Joe Biden, Ken Burns, and Mr. Rogers. Finally, if you'd like to support this podcast, please go to humankindpodcast.org. Choose how you can help at the top of our homepage. That's humankindpodcast.org. Thanks.